The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Sounds from the Spires with Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, Music Director of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
And you're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. And today we are talking with Dr. Gail Archer. I know we've talked to her a couple of times already during this pandemic. And even though things are opening up and getting better, we're still doing this via Zoom. So it's great to see you here on the computer, Dr. Gail. But I've seen you in person, I think, at least once in the last year. But I know that you continue to do great things and you're getting out there and concertizing now. And that's really a great thing. Last summer, we had Dr. Gail on our program, and she has been concertizing vast amounts of repertoire from different countries, but especially Ukraine. And she has a wonderful album out called Chernivtsi of contemporary Ukrainian organ music. And so I know we've done that within the last 12 months, but with everything going on right now in Ukraine, I thought that we should do a repeat of this and try to promote the wonderful music of your friends in Ukraine. So Dr. Gail, welcome again.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm delighted to be here. Yes, I have heard from some of my colleagues and some of our colleagues, musicians in Lviv, and they're safe for the moment, but I have not heard from some of my friends in Odessa, and I don't know where they are or what their situation is, but they're down on the sea coast, on the Black Sea coast, and where all of the terrible things are happening in Mariupol and Mykolaiv. And so all one can do is pray every day.
Right.
And hope that they are able to get to safety. The situation, it's just so grave. I was supposed to play in Kharkiv this summer in 2022, but that city has been under attack from the very beginning. It's right. The second largest city in Ukraine, but it also has the largest organ in Ukraine. There's a four manual instrument in the Philharmonic Hall, and I was supposed to play this Ukrainian program there this summer, August 7th. But of course, that is not going to happen. But the love for music in the Ukraine is so remarkable. When you play an organ recital there, every seat is full. Whether you're playing in a church or you're playing in a concert hall, people are so knowledgeable about the music and they appreciate classical music in general.
Right.
And then the organ music in particular, you'll just see whole families coming and small children there with grandma. They're teaching their children from the beginning to appreciate these arts. And that is just so remarkable and so admirable that they think this is extremely important for every generation to be acculturated and to be aware of the wonderful traditions. So it's this whole conflict is just heartbreaking.
It is.
And the violence, unnecessary violence and cruelty. We can only just pray that someone or several people and entities, whatever it might be, that intervenes to stop all of this as soon as possible. It's just completely unfair and unjustified.
It is. It is completely. I agree with you 100%. Dr. Gail, in Kharkiv, you're supposed to perform this coming summer. Is that concert hall still in existence? Is it okay? Is it intact? Or
as
been
far
attacked?
As I know, the concert hall is still there. I haven't heard of that being bombed. And of course, Odessa, I played in churches, and Odessa has not been bombed yet either. I play at the Reformed Church and also at the Lutheran Church. There's a very strong Lutheran community in Odessa, and they have a lovely organ in their church right in the center of the town. Lviv, the organ hall is still fine, and there's an organ in the Philharmonic Hall, and those places still exist at the moment because Lviv has not been attacked extensively. There have been some missiles on the outskirts of the town this week, So the organs that I've played at, and I've played at other smaller places, Rivnia, Khmelnytsky, Chernivtsi, where I made the CD, is on the Romanian border. Huh. So they're on the western part of the country also. They're a little distance from Lviv, but they're still in the west and on the Romanian border when you look at the maps. So the Russian forces have not gone that far at this point. So the organs there are still fine.
Yeah.
The organ in Chernivtsi is a Rieger Kloss, which was built by the Czech Republic branch of the German Rieger firm. And that's also true in Rivnia, which is not so far from Chernivtsi. And I've been up there and they have a Rieger Kloss too. So as far as I know, the organs are still all right where I visited, but Kyiv is, I've played at the Lutheran church there, right near the center of the town. I was there in 2015, just a year after the revolt in 2014, the Maidan Revolution.
Right.
And the pastor described the fact that the church had been made into a hospital during that time, and that the people of the community had cared for and fed and housed and gotten medical attention for the people who were injured during all of that. Mm-hmm. And that was my first visit to Ukraine, and you could still see the damage to buildings and the damage to monuments a year after all of that. And of course, the people were still deeply distressed about all of that. And this was St. Catherine's Lutheran Church in Kyiv. So Kyiv has just suffered terribly to date. So I don't know.
It's devastating.
I don't know about the organs there, because there's been so much damage. And my friends there, and I have heard from my friends in Kyiv, and they were able to get out of the city about 2 weeks ago, and they're in Lviv now. They got that far.
Wow. Well, thank goodness they're all right.
Yes, yeah. I've been grateful to hear from people. Bohdan Kotyuk is all right. He's in Lviv. And my other musical colleagues there are all right. They're actually working for the relief efforts with all of the refugees who are coming from other parts of Ukraine. They've been working in the shelters to just try to help us whatever way they can with food and shelter for the thousands and thousands of people who have been displaced in other parts of the country, but are making their way to the Polish border, which is where Lviv is located. And so musicians that I know there are working in the volunteer efforts to help with all of the refugees.
Right. It's really amazing to see this also on TV, on Facebook, all the social media, that, you know, these musicians, these artists, sports players, all these people who have done so much for entertainment or culture or the sports are now doing this unified effort to just help people survive. It's just a really amazing thing that the people are just so good and so heartfelt that they're just dropping everything.
Deeply human, just dropping everything to help their fellow men, women, and children.
Right.
It's so remarkable. And the courage of the Ukrainian people is so remarkable. They're facing such a formidable enemy, and yet they are standing up for what they believe in.
That's right. That's right. That's great that they're doing that. And you mentioned Bohdan Kotyuk. Let's take a listen to some of his music. And I'm glad he's doing okay, and that he's helping the people, feeding them and clothing them and just giving them help when they need. But this is his fanfare. And Dr. Gail Archer, our guest today, recorded this on her CD Chernivtsi, which is contemporary Ukrainian organ music. And that was put out in 2020, but it's great to bring this up again because the whole world is focused on Ukraine right now. And so here during this hour, we'll listen to Ukrainian organ music. And this is Fanfare by Bohdan Kotyuk.
Thank you.
And we just listened to Fanfare by Bohdan Kotyuk, and that was recorded by Dr. Gail Archer, our guest today here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic channel of Sirius XM 129. And that recording is Chernivtsi, contemporary Ukrainian organ music. And that was recorded in Chernivtsi. And Dr. Gail, what inspired you to visit Ukraine for the first time and learn their repertoire?
I had some Polish colleagues that recommended some of the women organists in Ukraine. And it is remarkable that it was the women who connected me with the opportunities to play there. Veronika Struck was a colleague I met through a Polish colleague. She is at the Lutheran Church in Odessa. And then I met Ellen Udras there in Odessa. And they introduced me to Olenka Matsaluk, who is in Lviv. Uh-huh. So I didn't plan this. It just happened that my contacts in Ukraine were and are all women. Uh-huh. And then they helped me. They introduced me to Bohdan Kotyuk, and then he introduced me to any number of other composers that either some of them are very much alive and very active in Ukraine right now, uh-huh. and others who had recently passed away. So those, the three organists and then Bohdan Kotyuk, sent me scores over the internet. Some were published, some of Bohdan's music is published, but a lot of the rest of it is not published. Uh-huh. They were getting it directly from their colleagues. And so it was a particularly inspiring project to just read through uh-huh. all these scores and then winnow it down to an hour's worth of music, which was by no means easy to do. I had visited Chernivtsi maybe the second time I went. Mm-hmm. I've played there a number of times, but the story of the organ is actually lovely. There's a monastery in Chernivtsi that was designed by an architect, Josef Hlavka, H-L-A-V-K-A. And the monastery became a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And that same architect built the Armenian Catholic Church in Chernivtsi. Mm. So it is the most beautiful church. It has gold leaf and remarkably intricate brickwork on it. The brick tiles on the roof of the monastery are brightly colored, and they're in the patterns of the embroidery guild uh-huh. in that part of Ukraine.
Wow.
Embroidery among the women is high art mm-hmm. in Ukraine. And each part of the country has particular patterns and particular colors that they use in the embroidery. So on the top of the building, the roof tiles are in the patterns and colors of the guilds of the Ukrainian women. Wow. I was just absolutely thrilled to learn this. Uh-huh. And I bought two pieces of embroidery that were done by women there, one for my mother and one for myself. And then the same architect built the Armenian Catholic Church. There's a partnership between the church and the Philharmonic in Chernivtsi. The Philharmonic paid for the Rieger Kloss organ to be placed in the church. Uh-huh. The church uses the organ for worship regularly. And then the Philharmonic uses the church for chamber music performances and organ recitals.
Wow.
It's the perfect church town project because it benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. And this is not unusual in Eastern Europe. I've experienced this in other places, but in Chernivtsi, it was particularly a successful project. And playing in that church, there's a dome on the top with a Christ figure at the top. It is breathtakingly beautiful. The church is just a jewel box. And of course, it has a marvelous acoustic too. Uh-huh. So it was inspiring to be in the building. And I did get to go visit the monastery as well. There are functioning chapels both for Eastern Rite and our Roman Catholic Rite within the monastery, but it's now part of the university in Chernivtsi. So there's students were everywhere. So the building is being properly used today. It's not standing empty at all.
Right.
It functions as a religious place. There are still chapels that are regularly used for worship every day.
Uh-huh.
And then the university students are using the monastery for classes regularly. And then there's this other beautiful church, not far from the monastery, built by the same architect. So all in all, it really was inspiring to be there and to have the opportunity to play the instrument. It's three manuals. It's in beautiful condition, in a beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't have a more advantageous situation. And just being there is thrilling.
Wow. That's amazing. I always learn something from you every time I speak to you, Gail. So thank you for all those stories.
I'm glad. I love the embroidery piece because my mother will be 93 in July.
Wow.
And she can't do it now because it takes her eyes have some concerns at this point.
Uh-huh.
But she was always a keen embroiderer when we were younger. Yeah. She has some very pretty things that she had framed and that are up on the walls of our home over in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing my mother did when I gave her the Ukrainian embroidery, she turned it over so she could see the knots, to see how the Ukrainian women had tied off the sections of the patterns.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh boy, she hasn't lost her interest in this at all.
That's fascinating.
I wouldn't know where the knots were. This wasn't that part I didn't get, but my mother and my grandmother did a great deal of crocheting and embroidery.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was brought up to appreciate these things.
A wonderful story. Dr. Gail Archer is our guest today here on Sounds from the Spires. And let's take a listen now to Ivan Krishanovsky's Fantasy.
Thank you.
And you just listened to the Shakona of Svitlana Ostrova. And just before the break, we listened to a little bit of the Fantasy of Ivan Krishanovsky. And this is on the CD recording Chernivtsi, Contemporary Ukrainian Organ Music, by our guest today, Dr. Gail Archer, organist at Vassar College. She's the director of the music program at Barnard College, Columbia University, and also a faculty member of Harriman Institute at Columbia University, and a concert organist, recording artist. She concertizes all over the world, Ukraine, especially, as we're talking about today. So, Dr. Gail, if somebody's interested in getting a recording of Chernivtsi, how can they do that?
You can contact Meyer Media, Meyer-media, because I've done most of my recordings with them. The recording engineer is Andreas Meyer, Meyer.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And you can find it on Amazon live streaming.
Okay.
There's a link for it. So if you just Google Chernivtsi, you can download it there.
Okay.
There's an Amazon link for it.
Very good. You think it's on iTunes as well and all those places?
I think it's on Spotify too.
Spotify. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you can check all those download platforms and find it there. But it's a wonderful recording, Chernivtsi, especially right now when the whole world is focused on Ukraine. It's a wonderful thing to be able to experience the organ music of Ukraine, which is unusual. And it's not something that we listen to here in the United States on a regular basis.
Well, that's the reason I've been doing this project. I recorded a Russian music CD that was released in 2017. And then this Chernivtsi CD was released in 2020. And now this spring, in May of 2022, I'll be releasing a contemporary Polish music. And you're right. This literature is not known in Western Europe and certainly not in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So it's a long-term project. I'm going to look at Bulgarian music.
Oh, good
for
you.
I'm going to look at Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania. There's a lot of organ music in Eastern Europe that is not known outside of their own native country. Uh-huh. Some of the composers, yes, might be better known outside of a particular culture. But for the most part, this music is not well known. And so it's my mission to go out and search for it and play it and record it and let people know. I had a meeting with St. Paul's Chapel on our Columbia University campus this past Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hopeful that I will be playing this Chernivtsi literature on April 28th, 2022. The concert will be free. I still have to get all of that confirmed. So I'm giving it the information on advisement, essentially, but it's in the works. We're trying to find a date so that I could play the whole program and then have people donate to humanitarian relief for Ukraine. That is the whole purpose.
That's a great idea.
So students, faculty, friends of the college, because the college is opening now. Mm-hmm. People from outside the community can come to campus now, finally. And you know, not as much testing, not as much mask wearing. So that public access is now available to people who are outside the university community, which is why I wanted to be as late in the term while classes are still in session. So before we go into the exams, so I'm hoping to play this benefit concert before the end of the term. So I'll be in touch and let you know for real.
Yeah, I would love to come and hear this live. I mean, I can listen on a computer, but it's not the same as listening to you play it live.
Listening to it live. And there's a wonderful four manual Aeolian Skinner organ in St. Paul's Chapel. So I'm hopeful that we will be able to arrange this. But the meeting was positive, entirely positive last Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to get confirmation about all of this and hope the dates can work out. But just playing it, I've had requests from the Netherlands, from England, from Canada, from colleagues across the United States. Could you please send me the scores of this music? I found your CD, but I can't find the scores. So I've been madly scanning scores and sending them to some people I know and others I don't know at all.
So
it's been a wonderful experience just responding to people's interest, because they don't know the Ukrainian literature, but they would like to use it in services of worship now.
Right.
And one of them was St. Bride's Parish in London, and they're having a service to support journalists who are working in the war zone. And they apparently have always supported journalists at this parish. They have a long history of this. So that's why they wanted the organ literature, so that they could play it during the service. So these things, this is a way that we as musicians can contribute at this moment of crisis. And yes, it's modest, I understand that. But still, the music is healing, it's uplifting, it's joyful, it gives people hope in times of great darkness and great struggle. Music has, we know this, music has uplifted people in their darkest times.
Right.
And so these contributions, while modest in themselves, are still meaningful to those who are playing the music in various communities. I'll be going up to Canada later this year, playing up in Toronto at one parish, and then going out to Winnipeg. These things got arranged within these weeks. People reached out to me and said, do you think you could play that here? I said, yes, of course I can. When do you want me to come?
That's great.
That's been inspiring.
Yes.
I found that really moving, that people would reach out whom I don't know at all and make those human connections with others who are trying to do something also, wherever they are.
Right. I have goosebumps on my arms just you telling me this right now.
I'm glad. That's how I felt about it, too. I thought, oh, my gosh, here's somebody I don't know in Utrecht in the Netherlands asking me for this music.
That's
how
great.
Lovely.
Yeah.
How lovely is this?
I might bug you, too, for the music.
I'm happy to send it. Some of it I've got scanned already, so I don't have to do it.
Some of the easier ones.
Well, Svetlana Ostrova's piece, that's up on the Museform site.
Okay.
Download that one.
All right,
Museform. That's really accessible and lovely.
Yeah.
She's in Kyiv. Last I heard, she had gotten away from Kyiv. I don't know where she is now, but I heard that she had gotten away from the city at least. So
thank
that's
goodness.
Very good.
Yeah. Just to mention that Gail has mentioned Muse Forum. If you're a woman organist and you're looking for some sort of online community or eventually in-person community, go to Muse Forum, MUSForum.org, and to find out more about this international network of women organists, because we can learn a lot from each other. And just after the break, a little bit earlier, we listened to Svetlana Ostrova-Shakona. But now let's take a listen to Mykola Kolesa's Pasakalia, a little bit of this, here from Dr. Gail's recording, Chernivtsi.
Thank you.
And you just listened to the fifth movement of Peace in Five Movements by Tadeusz Machal. And just before the break, you listened to the Pasakalia of Mykola Kolesa. And this is on the recording Chernivtsi, contemporary Ukrainian organ music, recorded by our guest today, Dr. Gail Archer, who is a New York City organist, and she is an international organist who records and performs all around the world, has this wonderful Ukrainian CD. So just go to Amazon.com or Spotify, those places where you can look for Chernivtsi and download it and listen to this beautiful organ music, and especially in support of Ukraine these days that so much needs our support, whether it's just prayers or financial, cultural, and you want to just internalize some of the music from that place. And if you don't know the organ music, this is a great way for you to get to know it. Dr. Gail's our guest today here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. I'm Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, your host. And you just are finishing up a Polish recording, or you've already recorded it, but it's going to be released in May. I'm looking forward to hearing that as well. A few years ago, you did the Russian CD. Do you find yourself right now limiting your performances of Russian music?
I haven't played that program in a bit, and right now I think it's best to just wait. We actually had a meeting today in the Harriman Institute, which is the Slavic Studies Institute at Columbia University, and talking about that very problem in how to study Russian language and Russian culture and history to better understand why these conflicts arise in Eastern Europe. No one wants to ignore the gravity of what is happening right now.
Right.
But still to be more historically aware of the tensions and the many changing borders of the countries in Eastern Europe going back to the Middle Ages. That I'm trying to understand Russian history helps to shed light on the problems of this very moment, that we can't stop studying Russian language or Russian culture or Russian history. In fact, doing that may help us to understand why this is falling to pieces in our own time. And we were talking about that very issue at a meeting that took place at the university today between 12 and 1. And they're trying to find ways to have seminars and have discussions and bring in lecturers and just try to shed light on some of these problems so that we all understand from a broader perspective why these things go awry when they do.
Yeah.
And to have a much broader view of the situation. Yes, we know specifically what's happening right now.
Sure.
But what may have contributed to this, or was there something similar to this at a previous point in history? And of course, the answer is yes.
Right.
These borders have been shifting for
for
hundreds of years.
Centuries, right. I know you've been trying to be in touch with your Ukrainian friends. Have you been in touch with any of your Russian friends and how they feel about the situation right now?
I only heard from one friend who's in Irkutsk, all the way out, almost on the Chinese border. That's the farthest from home I've ever been. I have a woman friend there. It's so far away and so far from any culture I experienced in my life. It was the first place I went in Russia was Irkutsk. I flew from Moscow to Irkutsk overnight. It's overnight flight. It's so far away.
Yeah.
And I played in an organ hall there again that was sponsored by the Philharmonic, but it was a church. It was a similar kind of arrangement where the Philharmonic took care of the organ. I remember going there and it was a kind of roll top over the keys. And I remember thinking, you know, if all of the writing on the organ stops is in Cyrillic, this is going to be a really long afternoon. And then I lifted the roll top and everything was in German. Things said gedacht and Pausen and things we organists are familiar with. And I said,
danke Gott.
danke sei Gott. Absolutely. I was so grateful. But I do have a wonderful friend there. They were some of the sponsors of this concert, and they took me back to their home, and we had a picnic in their home after the concert, and people were just eating and drinking outside in their big, big garden. And then sometime after midnight, after this had been going on for some time, the women of the family all started to sing folk songs and hymns. Huh. And then they just pointed to me and they wanted me to sing American folk songs and hymns. And so I did, you know, Amazing Grace and all the beautiful hymns we all know from our childhood. So I started singing hymns, and then they sang some more, and then I sang some more. And this went on till 2 a.m.
Wow.
I can say that I'm an American who had a sip of Siberian vodka in Siberia. I mean, they were all putting it back when it got later, but I was terrified. So I had one little polite sip. I must say I did. And then they brought out a big samovar, and there they are making tea. And it was, I will always remember it. It was so amazing. But I hear from Tanya pretty regularly, and she is the person. I now have 3 years of Russian. I've been studying Russian language. So I'm able to respond to her in Russian now. Before that, I did some German and a little English, and we managed. But I did hear from her, and they were deeply upset by the whole thing. And just so sad, and they have to be so careful now,
right?
Because they can't use the word war, because they could be in prison for 15 years.
Yeah,
the situation is really grave for them too.
Yes, yes.
Russian citizens who may not support
exactly
what the government has decided to do.
Right.
So,
yeah, I've been in touch.
Have you heard from your Russian colleagues? Because I know you've got there.
Yeah,
too.
No, they're, you know, I'm on Facebook quite a bit, and sometimes they can't get on, sometimes they can't post, and certain times they can do this and they can't do that. But yeah, they are very upset. They're very depressed. And one has been crying for 3 weeks, like, you know, why is this happening? These are our people. We're the same blood. We're the same faith. And, and why is this happening? It's tearing us apart. And so they're very upset, and they're very embarrassed. And even some of my Russian friends here in New York, they're so embarrassed. But I said, you know, we're here to support you. You're our friends, and you know, you can't control what's happening, but we could pray for you. And
has been my experience too in Russia. They are deeply Christian people.
Yes, yes,
they are. I mean, yes, many of them belong to the Eastern Church, but it's all the same church.
Yes,
I mean, it's they're praying to the same God, folks.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is, but deep faith in this place. I mean, I remember in Irkutsk, actually that makes me remember something that happened there at that picnic. One of the men there taught English at the university, and another one of the gentlemen taught German at the university there. And the gentleman who taught English took me aside at that picnic, and he said, he looked me right in the eye, and it was like something he really wanted an American visitor to know on our first night in Russia. He said, you know, the Russian people have always been very close to God. I was sort of, you know, taken aback. That was the information he wanted to give me on this American's first night. He knew it was my first night in Russia. He knew it. And I said, oh, my goodness.
That's interesting. Wow.
It's very interesting.
It says a lot.
That there are so many people, I'm sure Russians here in the United States, and so many millions of people there are people of faith who don't want to conflict with anybody.
Right. Yeah.
You know, not just this conflict, but all conflicts, who are peaceful, gracious people.
Yeah.
And they have to be suffering too in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Gale, I wish we had another hour to talk about this. You're so passionate about this subject, but I will continue to pray for your friends that that you can get in touch.
Likewise.
Yeah, you can get in touch with them and hope that they're okay, and that, you know, sometime in our lifetime, you can go back and you can give concerts there, you know, when it's safe.
I hope so.
And both in Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope that this ends soon.
Yes, amen. But in the meantime, I look forward to your Polish recording, and we'll definitely do this again, because we have to showcase your Polish recording and the wonderful work that you do. But keep in touch and let us know about the April date in Colombia, because I'd love to.
I will. That on Facebook. As soon as I find out when that's going to be definitely.
Yeah.
I'll reach out because I just feel so strongly about this. It's the right moment to play the music.
Amen. Dr. Gail, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this subject that you're so passionate about. And we'll finish out the hour by listening to Viktor Goncharenko's Fantasia on Dr. Gail Archer's recording Chernivtsi, contemporary Ukrainian organ music. Thank you to Dr. Gail. Thank you to Robert for editing. And stay tuned next week for Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. Have a great week.